You're listening to Irish Radio Canada's Home and Abroad, and we heard there from Patrick Leahy about the collaboration that's happening between Ireland and Canada when it comes to the graves relative to the Peter Robinson migration 1825. And historic graves is something that there's a great enthusiasm and interest in Ireland. And it's a project that's been going on, cataloguing, surveying, photographing, and helping to build a database that charts the history of the Irish people, and it's extending to being the Irish people at home and abroad. And John Tierney is here with me, and John is part of IACSRA, Ireland Historic Graves. John, Gramila Maga, Tafalcharoth, thanks for coming along. Tell me a bit about, first of all, what this is all about, what you guys do, and then the collaboration that's happening between Ballyhoura and Peterborough.
We're a very small team of archaeologists, and we work for ourselves. And about 20 years ago, I came up with the idea that I wanted to go surveying graveyards. In fact, I wanted to start surveying graveyards here near where I live in West Waterford. And we built a website to publish those few surveys. But straight away, local communities said to us, we want you to do our graveyards. Will you come and do our graveyards for us? Because the Irish rural community in particular are very attached to the old historic graveyards, because our people are buried inside in those graveyards. Very often they're 1,000 years old, if not more. And they're still in use in a lot of cases, Austin. They're certainly in use until the 1950s, 1960s. Some of them are closed now, but people are still going in to visit granddad's grave or granny's grave or great grandfather's grave. And there's a very strong observance and of remembering our dead. And the graveyards represent that sacred space where they're buried. So what I devised as an archaeological survey turned into a community survey. So we've done about 1,000 graveyards in the whole country. We think there's about 2,500, 3,000. We've done 1,000 with community groups. Nearly every one of them was with a local community group. And you know what that's like? A group of 10 people would turn up in the graveyard with us, and we'd read every gravestone. And they loved it. The community loved it. And therefore it grew, and that's how it grew. So 16 years now we're at it. It's kind of became our main project in some ways, because we became specialists in graveyards then and in institutional burial practices and famine graves. Actually, we've done a study of the famine graves over here. So it started as this big archaeological project, but then it became something more than that. And I always joke, because I started surveying gravestones as an archaeologist. I was interested in the gravestones, but then I learned immediately from the community groups, it's about people, not about stones, John, you know. And so we've kind of got that ethos. So we build collaborations all over Ireland. And now for the last 3 years or about, we're working on this collaboration with the community in Peterborough, out in Douro as well. And it's been a fantastic collaboration. Professionally, personally, it's been so interesting for us. As an archaeologist, you know, we learn to study the past in a very dispassionate way, very objective, based on facts. We still bring that to our modern gravestones, but we're kind of, you're more informed. You know, I understand the present day, and I look at the gravestones today, and then I try and project that back onto the past. And by looking at the communities who left Ireland to go abroad, and looking at then where they went and where they stayed and what gravestones they put up there, we're learning far more about ourselves, the new communities and the old communities back at home.
John, you mentioned in some cases in Ireland, we know there's graveyards that go back 1,000 years, 1,500. The weather is quite harsh between the rain and the wind, and stone gets eroded. There must be some challenge when you get into an old graveyard deciphering what's on some of these stones.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be hard, but we have a very simple technique that we just cast shadows. We use a flash lamp or a torch. I don't know what they would call it in Canada. And we just shine the flash lamp across the face of the stone in daylight.
Right.
And it casts shadows, and we just read the stones that way. Very simple. we don't clean the stones, we don't rub anything off, we just cast shadows.
Amazing.
Yeah, or even a mirror. If you have a sunny day, the thing about most Irish gravestones is that they're facing east.
Okay.
Because historically, we used to bury our dead facing east so they would see the rising sun on Judgment Day, and in Christian burial practices. And the gravestone then facing east gets the sun on it in the morning, and the sun is behind it then in the afternoon. And if the sun is behind it, you bounce the light with a mirror, and you can read pretty much most gravestones using that technique. So that's what we do. Very simple torches and mirrors and then the human eye is absolutely fantastic.
Right. So John, when you say that a lot of the graves would be facing east, that actually would have benefited because the prevailing wind would have been west, which would have meant that the rain and the erosion probably would be more severe on the rear of the stone rather than on the front.
Do you know, really, you know, Austin, Irish limestone and most of our gravestones are made from limestone. It's a fantastic rock and it's very, very durable. And you'd want to take a hammer to it to damage it.
Right.
So we don't have a lot of trouble. Once we worked out our techniques, a man down in Dungarvan, a man called Eddie Cantwell, I don't know if you've come across him in your travels, Eddie taught me a few techniques that I'm not allowed to use anymore: shaving foam and talcum powder, and you'd rub them onto the stone. We don't need any of those now because the old stone keeps its shape or keeps its form quite durable, really. Like most of the gravestones that we look at, they're about max will be 300 years old.
Right.
And in a lot of cases, they're okay. If you go across to the United Kingdom, then if you go to the UK, they make gravestones out of a range of different softer stones, and they can be perilous. But in Ireland, no, good old Irish limestone, the good stuff from Galway, great stuff from Cork, Kilkenny, just lasts forever.
Right. So now the collaboration with the Douro and the area around Peterborough, that migration that happened in 1825, where you had all the families predominantly from the Ballyhoura area, but some from other areas also. How revealing was that collaboration, the results of that, the research from your perspective?
Well, I can answer personally, and I can answer as a scientist, let's say. Personally, I was staying in Lakefield, is it?
Yes.
I was staying there and I cycled over then. It was a little cycling holiday for me as well. I cycled over and I met Patrick the first morning at the crossroads in Douro. And he walked me around the graveyard and the hair stood up on the back of my head, on the back of my neck. I knew I was in this foreign continent. I'd never been to Canada before and it was very strange. And I'm in this strange place where there's possums and coyotes and all that sort of carry on. But then as we walked around the graveyard, it was like I was in an Irish graveyard. It was like I was in a Munster graveyard. And even more than that, it was like I was in South Limerick or North Cork from the collection of the surnames. The surnames were the people I went to school with. They were my local Munster surnames. And the hair stood up in the back of my neck. And I said, how can we have an Irish graveyard in the middle of Ontario? I got the bus up from Toronto and up to Peterborough, and then I was cycling around there, but I thought I was somewhere remote. And now here I thought in this very remote place, I recognized the people because of their gravestones. And then when you meet the community up there, you can hear the Canadian accent. I knew they weren't like Waterford people here, or even, let's say, go up to South Galway like yourself. So they sounded like they were from a different country. But after spending a week with them, I just recognized so much. Maybe it's coming from a rural community. Maybe there are commonalities in that. But also the Irish cultural practices that continued. They say travel broadens the mind. And it did in my case. I learned so much about our whole data set. Like, we have 100,000 odd gravestones in our system. And a lot of them relate to the diaspora. A lot of who uses the Historic Graves website are people who are living abroad and traveling back. And by going to Douro, it gave us a proper insight into what that meant, certainly for 19th century emigration. So a bit of an eye opener and a real education. And the thing about the Dura community is they're very proud of their Irish heritage. They've done really high quality research. And the most surprising thing, I don't know why it's so surprising, Austin, but Patrick Leahy is doing research now, and he's doing new research, but not on Dura. He's doing it on Ireland over here. Yeah. And he's finding out stuff that nobody else has published before. And he's answering a lot of questions that we would have had over the years. So this collaboration is it's bridging the Atlantic is what we call it, but it's kind of, you know, we're giving a lot of value to the Dura community and Ennismore and so on, who we're working with. But we're getting so much more back as well. I think that's the essence of all good collaborations, isn't it? When people feel we're getting a lot out of this.
So, John, has this stimulated the urge and the desire to do more? Because like in this area here around Ottawa, when you get up the Ottawa Valley and you go up to Westport and you go from Westport over to Bailieborough and out 5 or so kilometres from me here is Navan, and down south of me here is Leitrim. The way into Navan...
They're all place names in Ottawa.
Yeah, the way into Navan is along the Trim Road. You know, that the strength of the Irish community is so strong. And all, so many street names downtown, like O'Connor, Murray, they're all a lot of Irish street names because of the...
Oh, I'd love to come. I haven't been to Ottawa. I'd love to. Yeah, I have the urge to travel. What's good, though, and I think I've seen this in Canada in particular, you have a very strong historical practice. You have got local groups who are already very active in this. And I know in the Ottawa area, there's some very good people doing graveyard surveys there and doing the associated historical works. So I watch what they do avidly and then hope that they publish data, and then we can line up data sets. You know, that's the scientist in me. I want to travel so I can do more surveys. And for that end, and that's what we've been working with the Dura crew with as well. We've made an app for actually surveying the graveyards.
Okay.
And it's designed so that people, not just us, but people will go in with an iPhone or with an Android phone into a graveyard. Let's say there's 200 headstones. They'll take 200 photographs, one each of each headstone, and then they'll fill out a little record sheet. So we're trying to encourage people to do these community surveys like we've done here in Ireland, but to do them over there. And then we connect the communities with the data and with the stories. And it's just the Irish here are loving the Canada link. I'm surprised at actually how interested people are. You know, you would think, oh, it's so far away. But I think a lot of local historians over here do already know of links between Ireland and Canada, Ireland and Hong Kong, Ireland and Australia. And what's emerging from this project is actually now we're actually making friends with the communities on the other side. So it's we are now collaborating regardless of distance, you know.
Right.
In fact,
right.
It kind of works because we're either on Facebook or we're on WhatsApp and we're messaging one another all the time and passing on and developing ideas. Like some of what we do, Austin, we've got European funding for it. So
we're
doing this project. It's called Secret Tour, and we're working with partners all over Europe. And so they're funding my time for a good chunk of this kind of research. And that's about connecting European communities and learning from one another. And through this, the actual Canadian experience and the Irish diaspora experience is feeding into that EU project.
Right.
So that'll then inform policies at the European level for how we actually should look after these kind of heritage places and the living traditions that are involved as well.
Fantastic. Well, you guys have an event coming up. I know at the Thursday, August 20th, there is hosting Irish names in Canadian stone, a transatlantic heritage, as part of the National Heritage Week. And that leads into stuff that you have going on in September. I'm not going to be there for that one, unfortunately. It can't be everywhere. But
no, Patrick has got funding from the Royal Irish Academy to come over to us. He probably spoke about that.
He did.
In August. And so, but we've been working on this together now for the last year. He started making these new discoveries with data we had, and he began to understand it. So we're really looking forward to the week he's here. I think we're going to learn an awful lot. And then I'm coming out your direction then in September. And we're with it's a three-legged stool in a lot of our collaborations. So there's Ballyhara Development, there's ourselves, and there's the Douro Heritage Group, including Patrick. So that's now we're coming together then to get more done. Because what we found, Austin, is that the old graveyards are actually a tourism resource.
That's right.
And like they bring the diaspora visitors back to Ireland. People used to come back to Ireland. They say, "Oh, I go to Dublin, I'll go to Galway, and I was back in the old sod." But in fact, now what's happening is they're actually going back to the original townland that their people came from, and the graveyard where their people are still buried. And what we've begun to realise is we can now trace the actual graves that they're buried in on your side of the water.
Right.
So, and then that means I meet them more and more Irish who are now going to Canada.
Yeah,
and they're following family trees over your direction. So it's a two-way process. And you know, like going to Toronto, it's nearly the same distance as going to Cyprus.
Indeed.
For me here, so
well, it's nearly the same distance as going to Belfast if you're trekking.
Some days, if you get caught in the M50,
John, we need to wrap up. Thank you so much for taking the time. Again, the sites to visit are ballyhoradevelopment.com and also historicgraves.com, and you can find out more about what's going on. John Tierney, thank you so much for taking the time for chatting.
Okay, thank you, Austin. Very nice to talk to you. Slán.